It's a new episode of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
You can follow us on all social media channels at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we have a very special guest with us this week. Close personal friend of both Dory and I, and your in-arena host for the Tampa Bay Lightning, celebrating his 10th season, doing that job and killing it every game. It's Greg Wolf. Hi, Greg.
Ladies, how are you?
So well. So good to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you guys for having me. And yes, I can't believe we're at the decade mark for the in-game hosting duties for our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. It's pretty remarkable and pretty humbling, to be honest with you, to have made it this far.
And time flies, I'm telling you.
It really does. Like, we were just talking a little while ago. I mean, to go back, I mean, I really started in 06 in marketing and with the team and kind of took over the hosting duties in the 07, 08 season. So, you know, we had a little bit of let's just say there was a chapter kind of in the middle there in the 09-ish era to the 2011 time that wasn't so great.
CT calls them the Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages.
Dark Ages. So once we got through the Dark Ages and the smoke cleared, everything kind of took off from there and everything regrouped and we're doing awesome. And I'm just loving that our boys are off to a hot start again and things are looking promising, that's for sure.
So if people want to congratulate you on your 10-year anniversary, where can they find you on social media? Because you are just fascinating, my friend.
I'm everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Third Leg Greg, 3RDLEGGREG. Yes, that is the radio name from many, many, many years ago.
Greg, I swear to you, people actually have asked me that. You're like, wait. I have a question because I've been to games and I see, you know, when they like, you know, when you do the pregame, what they'll put up your social and they're like, that can't be. Is that
the same guy?
Is that the same? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same guy that was on your radio from 1999 to 2006, almost on Wild 98.
Crazy.
Now 94.1. It's crazy, man. It's been a long time.
Yeah. You're a legend, my friend.
Well, I don't want to call myself. You're going to call me that, I'll take it.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about game night, okay? Because there's so much going on, and you kind of see everything that happens behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. And, you know, sometimes if you're a fan who comes in one entrance, you may not see all the stuff that's going on. So can you kind of give us a rundown of, like, a typical game night of, like, things that are happening that fans can participate in?
That's a great question, actually. To be honest with you, there is so much going on at our arena compared to many other arenas around the country and beyond that don't have, number one, the weather that we have, but number two, the facilities that we have, but number three, the kind of party that we throw every single game night. And obviously it all starts on Ford Thunder Alley. You know, you're going to get live music out there, whether it's a street-laced DJ or you're going to get a live band. Shout out to Broken Mold Entertainment. Those guys are fantastic. Always booking the hottest, the best, the local flavor. You know, you've got beer out there. Everybody wants beer before the game. There's the Corona Beach Bar before the game. That's right out there on Fort Thunder Alley. And a lot of the times the post-party is on Fort Thunder Alley. You're going to get the guys like Brian Bradley is going to be out there with Thunderbug and the Lightning Girls. It's really the hub of Amalie pregame, postgame. It's Ford Thunder Alley. There's kids games. There's always some great partners out there. There's sponsorship stuff. And then, of course, you've got the big, like, before the doors open, the big presentation with the Lightning Girls. And our boy Crazy Eye Steve is out there. And Thunderbug and the pounding of the drum. It's just – it's such a great experience to come see that before you ever even step foot in the door in the building. It's a remarkable, exciting time to be a fan in Tampa Bay. And I think the Lightning organization does a fantastic job of making sure that fans get the best possible game experience. And it doesn't matter if it's a Monday night or if it's a Saturday night, you're still going to get that same vibe every time you go to the arena. So I'm always running around doing crazy stuff. I do a lot of fan 411 video shoots so that when fans come into the game and get into their seats, we kind of give a rundown of all the different things that will be happening throughout the game night, if there's specials, if there's contests, if there's special restaurant things happening or team store merchandise or whatever it is. There's not a lot of downtime like once we get in the building. I mean, you've seen us running around there and back behind in the corridor just trying to get from point A to point B. So a lot of moving parts on game night that you would never see as a fan, but there's a lot of people working really, really hard behind the scenes, John Franzone is the maestro of it all. And it's just, it's a really cool thing that never, ever gets tiring to me.
Okay, so I have a question because you named all the stuff on Ford Thunder Alley and everything. But I've seen, you know, because we go to the games early, you know, media duel, that whole thing. And I swear there's stuff like on the rooftops and
for sure.
Okay.
Mean, yeah, you've got the Budweiser Beer Garden.
Okay.
Which is the best view of Tampa Bay, hands down. You have DJs up there. They have sometimes, they actually are now hosting like groups.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, free party. They have companies that are treating their staff, and they do these private events up there. But it's open to the public all the time. And again, the best view of Tampa Bay on the Budweiser Beer Garden. You have the Heineken rooftop, which is also an amazing view that's now looking overlooking Sparkman Wharf and all the construction and stuff that's happening down there. That's right behind like Section 2. I want to say it's like 216, mm-hmm. 215, somewhere up in that area as well. And then, of course, there's always things happening on the concourse. There's a lot of cool new interactive zones and selfie stations. And, you know, there's auctions now, which they've always had with Tampa General Hospital. You really just need to get in the building.
It's unbelievable. It's
just
unreal. Yeah.
I mean, it's not only just that, the food options.
Oh,
my gosh.
They've got a Capital Tacos on the 300 level.
So, I mean, it's just the food alone is just enough to make you just want to walk around and say, before I buy something, let me see how many different options there are.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
You can find anything. The other night I was walking to the club level. They had a poke station, so you could put together a poke bowl and make your own poke bowl station. I was like, what?
We're so bougie here in Tampa. So bougie.
Only here. So,
yeah, it really is only here. And I think we always say it's the biggest bang for your buck in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It really is because, especially, you know, when the student rush tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, it's unreal what you really get. I mean, you're getting a show. You get, you know, everything that Lightning Vision does, which is amazing. I love the projections before the mm-hmm. game. Everything. It's so obvious why it's 160-something straight sellouts.
And not only that, they added the LED lighting this year.
Yeah, right. They did.
Right.
I mean, we're the only building in the world, or I don't know if it's in the NHL. I think it's in the NHL. We're the only team in the NHL that has this new LED lighting system, and they can literally create lightning with it. So when you've mm-hmm. got the Tesla coils and the LEDs flashing at the same time, you legit feel like you're in a thunderstorm. It's unbelievable. And then before the game, they're all blue, mm-hmm. so there's a blue hue in the building. It's just those kind of things that show you the dedication of Mr. Vinick and what they're trying to do to continually stay on top of the game and always be the best in the industry. And it's remarkable. Just when you think that they can't do something
yeah.
else, they're going to find a way to do it. So it's awesome.
I will say the LED lighting caught me by surprise for the first home game because I don't think they were installed yet for the preseason. So then we come for the home game, and I'm like, why does it feel like last call? What's happening?
It is bright.
Yeah.
It hits the ice. It is like, holy moly. Like, it is super, super bright.
Yeah.
But, again, it helps your...
Oh, it's great.
View of the game. I mean, it really makes it so much easier to see things. It's pretty remarkable that they did that.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic now that I'm used to it. But at first I was like, oh, man, my eyes are bleeding. Like, what's happening? But it's so great. And you can see the puck so much better. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see the puck much better on TV, too.
I believe so.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You can. Yeah.
So, okay. So we kind of talked about all the things that are happening. And I know we've asked you this question before, but I think it kind of, people take it for granted. All of the stuff that you do on a game night, like, I don't know how you're not collapsing by the end of it, but like, what is a typical game night like when you walk in that door? And I've seen you on your little Razor scooter too.
I know I almost
ran you over one night getting to the car.
The scooter unfortunately died after the car was over, but I looked at that as like an omen. It's like, okay, well, you know, we had unfinished business. My scooter said I'm done. Mm-hmm. Let's just leave that in the past.
Okay,
and let's get back on foot and walk like everybody else to the arena from the parking garage. Although this time now they have like a little
the bus. Shuttle.
They have like a we ride in style from the parking garage.
It's nice,
way, you know, which is nice that the
it is
team
nice.
Has done that for their employees. But so as soon as I get to the arena, I literally go in. I drop my bag, get myself geared up because it seems like every single game so far this season, I've walked in and they've had something new for me, whether it was you know, a new jersey, because obviously last year was the 25th anniversary. I can't wear the same jersey on the 25th anniversary. So I had to get a new jersey. Then it was the next game. It was the new TBL Adidas hat that they put in the store with the TBL on the front of it. So then I got a new hat. Then it was the blazer with the lightning bolts all over the blazer.
Let's talk about the blazer real quick. Is that something that they stole from your styling? Because you have that master of ceremonies.
I'm not going to say, I don't physically say I can take credit for that, but don't you guys find it interesting that somebody had a lightning blazer on a few years ago and had a whole big rivalry with Big Cat on Barstool Sports in Chicago and Tampa. And then all of a sudden, you know, I wore that at the Bolts Family Carnival and boom, all of a sudden now, there's lightning blazers in the team store.
Yeah.
I wonder where that. So I don't want to say I was the inspiration for it, but I just found it to be interesting that I've been wearing a custom lightning blazer for a few seasons now, and now we have them in the store. But I think that's fantastic. Fans love them. They've been flying off the shelves. It's only a limited edition apparel item.
Oh.
So I'm glad I got one of those. So,
oh, I need to get one of those because I want to bling it out. I need to get one of those.
Bling it out. They even have, like, button-up, like, the untucked style shirts for the guys that are the same pattern,
too.
Oh, wow. So, I was hoping they'd have pants to match, but I haven't
yet.
But maybe in due time. We'll
see. Okay. We buy the jacket first, and then the pants will come.
Yeah, maybe that's just the way they tease you a little bit with it. So anyways, I go in, I find out what gear special it is that night or whatever. I get my iPad, which is my script rundown for the night, and then boom, I'm right up to where our pregame shoot's going to be, whether it's out on the plaza or Fourth Thunder Alley, or if it's up on the Budweiser Beer Garden, or it's in the team store, or it's at a charity drive, or whatever it is that we're doing. I immediately go get with my cameraman, Corky. We shoot that. We get that knocked out. Then I'll go back downstairs, have a script review. Typically, we'll be in media dining, grab a little bite to eat, say hello to everybody, which is great. Super much like a family with the photographers and the NHL guys, and you've got the bloggers, and you've got the media guys. Everybody's just kind of congregating, grabbing a bite, talking hockey and life, which is great. And then as soon as that goes, I mean, it's pretty much from that point, it's almost showtime. And then, boom, we're right into the game, the presentation, and we're off and running. Every single period, I have different reads, sponsorship reads that I have to do. I'm doing different in-game contests, as you guys see, whether it's the Enterprise Hat-Trick Challenge, or we're doing contests on the ice, or now we're doing the Jimmy John's Freaky Fast
CT loves this one.
We had a winner.
We had a winner the other night. She got, you know, we scored a goal in the last 2 minutes, and she got herself a team-signed autographed jersey. So it's crazy, though, because I literally have, I think, less than 4 minutes to get from the ice to the moment they start JP from the control room to the time I do that freaky fast break.
Oof.
I have, like, 4 minutes to get from the ice to the 300 level.
How do you do it? Like, what's the secret to that? Oh, you run. Okay.
Well, the good thing is there's certain staircases.
Right,
in that building. Yeah, that gets you to point A to point B. So, but I have to run.
Okay.
There's no question, I have to run. So I'm on the go pretty much until the very end of the game. And then at that point, sometimes we have post-game meetings to go over things that we could change or things we could do better, or that was a great game, have a beer, everybody relax. And then we're off and back home and in our beds, hopefully before midnight. So
that's, gosh, I'm exhausted just hearing you talk about it.
It's neat because when you're there, and you know you're in one section. You know, a lot of times when you do the you start the game, the sticks of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure to say that right. In the 300 section, you know, and then like it's first intermission. It's like, how is Greg down here in this corner?
It's magic.
It's like, oh, there is Greg over there. And it's really like kind of like.
It's Where's Waldo?
It is. Almost. It's Where's Waldo? It's Where's Waldo with Greg Wolf.
But that's the good part. I mean, you really want to try to touch as many fans as you can in the building and make them feel like, you know, they're a part of the show. I mean, it's funny to me when I'm standing in a section, you know, or in between two sections, and people I see break out their phones and they're filming me. I'm like, why are you filming me? Like, I'm not Thunderbug, you know, like I'm not Dave Anderchuk. Like, why are you? I don't feel like I'm a part of the show, because sometimes I forget you're a part of the show. They don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to do a crowd interaction? So they're excited to say, oh my God, that's the guy on the screen. He's in our section. Oh my God, what's going to happen? So,
or a military reunion, which make me cry. And there's no crying in hockey, but every time you guys do that, I end up crying.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you can't not cry. We haven't done one yet this year because obviously we just, you know, season pretty much just started. But I guarantee there will be a couple sometime this year. There always is. I don't know about them either, guys, until I get to work that night. And typically I won't know, you know, for a period before it happens. And then, like, we're like, okay,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because, again, they want the element of surprise.
Right.
You know, I want to be surprised. I mean, it's super exciting when they tell me it's going to happen. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be a good one.
That's awesome.
But yeah, those are always fantastic. And they normally make national news through, you know, the NHL network or, you know, local TV picks it up. So it's really, really cool to be a part of those events. Because even though it's all about the families reuniting, but being able to be in the moment, to set up the moment for them for that. Hopefully that's something that they never forget. And, you know, to be a part of that is really, really humbling.
We're speaking with Greg Wolf, in-arena host for the Tampa Bay Lightning. What is your favorite intermission game? Because I know I have my favorites. But, I mean, you get to see them from a different perspective, and you get to talk to the people who are performing, or not performing, but participating in them beforehand. And
can
then
I guess which one's your favorite?
Okay, so...
Can I guess before you say it?
Yes, you may.
I want to say it's sumo because you always crack up through the whole thing.
Sumo is hilarious. Okay. Because anytime you put people in this big sumo suit, it doesn't matter what they're doing. It's hilarious. And it always ends bad at some point.
You cannot keep it straight. And it
never. I can
it
never.
It kills me.
It's just goofy to watch. You can't not laugh. Even when you think about it, it's just goofy. I would have to say it's a toss-up between, which is something we do all the time now, which is the Spectrum Bright Stars, all the little kids that come out in scrimmage, because you'll get kids that are like under 8 years old literally come up to my knee and they're out there, you know, trying to put it. It's just funny to watch these kids, but it's also great when they do great hockey moves and score a goal and how excited the fans get to watch the kids scrimmage. So that's always a great one for me. But I would have to say the most memorable ones have been where we've done the huge – and I don't think we can do it anymore because there's been too many incidents, as I will say, quote-unquote incidents, was the massive beach ball challenge where it's literally the biggest beach ball you can imagine, and you have two teams that are all converging on this beach ball center ice. And the goal is to keep the ball on the opponent's side of the rink. So when the timer is up, if the ball is in their side of the rink, then you win. So it's literally like a battle, like a keep away almost. So we've had instances where that ball has gone into the crowd, and then at that point it's like, oh Jesus, now you got this massive beach ball just going to go flying around the arena, which can be a problem. But the last time we did it, everybody ran to the ball at the same time, and
bounced off of it.
The ball exploded. So there was a girl guy team and a guy. I think it was a girl guy team on both. They all converged on the ball at the same time. The force was enough to blow the ball out, right? But the girl hit it at the right time and goes flying into the ball as it explodes. She disappears. The ball just explodes, completely deflates. Like, I had no idea what to say, so I completely lost my mind. And that was it. I was like, who wins? Like, so her body was on the other side of the ball through the red line, and so that team ended up winning because, well, the ball blew up. That's all we can do. But, I mean, literally, she went flying, like hands to, like, feet off the ground into the beach ball. I thought I didn't know she was alive, to be honest with you, at the end of that. But it was great. So that was probably and still one of my all-time favorites is the beach ball bingo. That was just awesome.
Oh, gosh. There's so many always good entertaining. Ones.
It is.
There's some really good ones.
Yeah, like if you're one of those people who get up with a minute left in the period because you want to beat the line to the beer line or beat the line to the bathroom, don't. Stay and watch some of these games because they're just great. And the commentary from you, Greg, and I don't know if it's just because I know Greg or if it's just in general, but your commentary always cracks me up.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it. And I definitely agree. Like, don't join the rush trying to go get your 50-50 raffle tickets, which, by the way, you can get at your seat now,
I
guys.
Know.
Yeah.
Both 50-50.com. You don't even have to leave your seat to go buy a 50-50 ticket. But like you said, why join the rush to go get beer and go get food? Wait about 4 or 5 minutes when the period's over, and then wait for the contest that we're doing to be over, and then get up and go and get what you got to do. So
yeah,
I totally agree with that.
It's good stuff. Okay, so before we let you go, we do want to get your opinion on how the boys are playing because you're there every game, and you have a very special perspective from, you know, I thought my seat's good, but your seat is even better. So it's been a good start for the guys, but what do you see? And do you see this, you know, hopefully maybe finishing that unfinished business? I don't like to say it because I'm a little superstitious, but...
I mean, I think we can all safely say, without a doubt, that we have an extremely talented team that I don't see where any of our talent has dropped off from last year. If anything, it's gone up.
Yep, I agree.
The addition of young cats like Matthew Joseph, who's the first one that sticks out to me, to see from the glass level from where I'm at a lot of the game, his speed and his tenacity and his hunger every shift. It's not just like, oh, he gets out on the ice and he's playing the game the way it's supposed to be played on every shift. And it comes to mind is somebody like a Tyler Johnson and a Ryan Callahan, that those guys are, you, anytime they're out there, you see they are absolutely putting forth 100% effort and they want to win. And I see it with young cats like him. I see it in Yanni Gord's eyes. You see it in Sorelli's eyes. These young kids that are now have had some experience with the triplets, and you see Stamkos is finally starting to come up, and Kucherov now is back to his old ways and crazy backhanded goals and whatnot. And I mean, the other night, look, we got 55 shots on goal the other night versus the Blackhawks, and 33 shots in one period. That is an NHL record. Like, what, is this the real? That's my question. Is that the real team? Because guess what, Chicago is no slouch of a team, guys. And the fact that when we played them the other night, they were that much more dominant after coming off a loss, mind you,
right,
in Minnesota, right, in overtime.
The back to back, which.
Yeah, and back to back, which we all know is difficult as it is. But for them in that game specifically, I don't know if that was the tide turner already for me on this season.
Ooh.
But that game was a statement game on this is where we're at this season. So I will continually go back to that game because of how remarkable it was. I think we won 6-3 that game. But it just goes to show, put pucks on the net. Because if you do, the talent level we have, they're going to go in. So if they can continue that mentality, shoot the puck, and our defense seems like it's clicking out. Sergachev's got more experience under his belt. I like where we're headed. I like where we were at last year. I think that the sting of not getting it done last year, I think that lingers with these boys. And I hope and I pray that when we get to the Stanley Cup Final again this year.
Uh-huh, you said it.
Hell yeah, I said it. I stand by it, too. When we get to the Stanley Cup this year, that feeling they had to watch Ovechkin and those guys take it, that feeling, that pit in their stomach, that pissed-off feeling, that's what I hope it turns on the most, is that first game of game one, the Stanley Cup final, and they never shut it down, and we get it and bring it home, because that's where it needs to be. Family needs fans.
From your lips, my friend. And, yeah, you know, Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take.
100%. So I think we get it done this year, guys. I really do. I think we're off to a fantastic start. I don't see it slowing down. Let's just stay healthy. Fingers crossed we stay healthy.
Oh, no. You've talked about the Stanley Cup final, and now you're talking about injuries, and she's dying.
I'm in the fetal position on the floor. You realize this right now.
That's reality, guys. The reality is it's a brutal game. It's a long season. Mm-hmm. There's a long stretch. We stay healthy. We know the talent that we have. We absolutely have the talent to get it done. So let's just stay healthy, stay positive, and let's see everybody raise Lord Stanley's Cup here in Tampa Bay as we parade down Bayshore. That's how the season will end.
And really, when you put it into perspective, and you have, you know, I didn't even think about it until you said it, it's like epiphany. Last playoffs, you know, we were okay. We were, you know, health-wise, we had Stamkos.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, it was just different. It was a healthy team for the first, I honestly think, for the first time in all five tries.
Right.
And, you know, they just, Ovechkin, and I'm sorry, but I keep saying it. Like, dude, that dude played out of his mind. We've never seen it. And he's one of the best. CT's not a fan, but he's a Hall of Famer, and he's one of the best of this generation by far. I mean, he really is. And he played another level.
He did. And that's where the Stamkoses and Kucherovs, yep, of the world,
exactly,
are going to have to play at that level, mm-hmm, come that time for us to get the hardware. It's, yep, that simple. You saw the fierceness in his face and his eyes. He was not going to be denied. We have to have that same mentality in order to get it done.
Yep, I agree.
Well, Greg, always a pleasure. Please remind everybody where they can find you on social media.
At 3RDLEGGREG, Instagram, Twitter. Get at me, follow me. I promise to give you a fantastic, you know, first-person view of a game night experience every single time I'm at the arena. I absolutely try to give you guys my perspective and show you the things that I see on a game night. So I will not waste your time like some other people may on social media.
Ooh.
I promise to give you.
I'm not just,
you know, shots fired. I'm just saying some people out there, we all know, it's just not, you know, they're not great to follow. But I promise to give you entertaining stuff. That's one thing I can tell you.
And some shade throwing, and that's it with you, Greg. We love talking to you. We hope to see you at the rink real soon.
Thank you so much, ladies.
If you can't tell, we love Greg Wolf.
Yeah.
We've both known him forever.
And honestly, if you guys ever see him at the Bolts Family Carn, if you guys
anywhere,
see him, just talk to him.
Introduce yourself, say hi. He loves meeting everybody.
He will make time. We promise.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the road trip out to Vegas that I took to see the Lightning play. And then in the final segment of today's show, we're going to talk about the top five goaltenders in the NHL of all time. It gets pretty heated. You're not going to want to miss it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
You can find us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. So we're kind of recording this segment remotely on location. At least I'm on location from Las Vegas. Dory's at home.
Yeah. I mean, technically it's locations. It's not at the studio.
Yeah, it's not at our normal studio. So we're trying out something fancy and something new. So I'm currently sitting in my hotel at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Fancy.
I'm very fancy. Gonna head probably to the pool later this afternoon. I think that's on the plan.
And then your I Love but 90s show.
No, it's not I Love 90s. It's the Backstreet Boys in concert.
Same thing.
Because okay. So all complaint tweets can go to Dory. No, I'm kidding. I'm gonna feel like I'm 14 again later this evening, but. But I did catch a lot of hockey while I was here.
Yeah.
Hockey.
And if anybody goes to our Facebook page, you see some of your shots. How was the atmosphere?
Okay. So I went to a game Wednesday night. It was Vegas versus Vancouver. So I didn't really have a dog in the race. So I got to experience like the in-arena experience without like biting my fingernails with, you know, the Lightning playing. So it's really interesting out here. I mean, the locals fill that building. There are not a lot of people visiting. It's all locals and they are rabid. They are all decked out in Vegas Golden Knights outfits, like not just like a jersey, but like full on outfits. They are passionate. They are loud. So it was really interesting to see that. So the game starts. Well, first of all, I was in line getting some food and all of a sudden I hear this drumming. And so they're marching. They start marching from the plaza all the way into the building with their drums, their drum corps, their ice girls.
Oh my
their
gosh.
Cheerleaders and the Vegas Bells, I think they're called, from the Flamingo Hotel with the full headdress, like full on Vegas showgirls, and they march around the arena.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So then the drum corps, you know, breaks off, whatever, and then the warm-ups start and the showgirls line up against the visiting team's end zone against the glass while the visiting team is warming up. So then the warm-ups end, and then that goes into what they call night time. It's very, very clever. And they start their pre-game show, I guess you would call it.
Okay.
And there, I was sitting there going, okay, so did medieval times break into a hockey game, or did a hockey game break out in the middle of medieval times?
Wow.
But it was really well done. Like, they walk the fine line of being campy to it being done really well. And it's entertaining, and the detail that they put into it, it's just really well done, and it's super fun. And the crowd is engaged. I mean, and it's not, I was wondering, because, you know, during the playoffs, we saw the Knights on the ice doing like a little skit. Mm-hmm. That's all season. They do that all season. Wow. It's not just for the playoffs. So, you know, they had the competitor night, and then the Vegas Golden Knight, and they were doing a mock little sword fight. And then in one of the end zones, they have the fortress, which is basically the castle, where it's basically the stage where all the in-arena stuff happens, and the drum corps stays. And the drum corps, they have all their light-up gear, so they light up during the game. I mean, it's just, there's so much to see. It's just really well done. And like I said, they walk that really fine line of being campy to being, like, really entertaining. So I thought it was really interesting. The arena is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, and they really, every detail, like even up in the press box, because they call it the fortress, is what they call the arena. So mm-hmm. like a castle, a right. fortress. Up in the press box, like they have some doorways that are just left, like, I'm not sure what they are because we were down low, but they have curtains that just kind of frame them to make it look like a castle or a fortress.
Oh, wow.
And it's just those little details
right.
that just bring, I mean, they really have a theme and they run with it.
Well, good for them.
Yeah. So really entertaining. The in-arena guys are pretty good. The fans are very nice. Even the other night when the Lightning were playing, you know, I stood up and politely cheered and clapped for when we were scoring. And the one lady next to me, she's like, "You're getting the cheer more than I am." And I'm like, "Well, I flew 4.5 hours. I hope I was going to be able to cheer more than you did." But she was really nice about it. So the fans are nice, you know, granted it's not a playoff game.
Sure.
But fans are nice. They're really passionate about their team. They love their team. I mean, the women, a lot of the women wear these gold sequin bomber jackets with the logos on the back. And so I'm going to be petitioning to the Lightning to get Lightning blue sequin bomber jackets with a silver lightning bolt down the back, because I would pay whatever it costs to wear something like that. It's really cool. It's really neat. Definitely, if you have a chance to come out to Vegas to see a game, do it. It's the ultimate dinner and a show, for sure.
And maybe do it when the Lightning aren't there, so you're not, you can focus on kind of their shenanigans going on.
Yeah, or when they're, like, because I was still able to, like, be engaged in the game and see all the stuff going on when the Lightning were there. And let me tell you, there were a lot of Lightning fans here. It was really cool to see. They traveled well to this game. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had one in our row, actually, which I was like, oh wow, that's good. So yeah, there were a lot of Lightning fans here, and it was so weird. It was a 3 o'clock game here mm-hmm. because it was Nevada Day, and so it was weird going to a 3 o'clock game. The whole day was thrown off.
Yeah,
but and I was in bed by 9:30, so it was great.
in Vegas,
it was our one and in Vegas, I was asleep by 10. It was one of the early nights for us, because every other night we've been out late. But it was super fun. It was, yeah. I mean, it just, you see people everywhere wearing the Vegas Golden Knights logo, on the strip, even when there isn't a game. But I mean, those locals, they really have embraced this team, and they're into the games, and they are engaged, and yeah, they have a really great core here for sure.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure if it was going to be mostly a transient, you know, tourist crowd. But no, man, it's all locals.
Awesome. I like that. It's non-traditional, and I like it when they have people show up.
Yep, their people show up, and they are loud. I mean, it is, and the sound system that they have in this place is ridiculous. Like, the bass on in that building is awesome. So, yeah, they've done everything really well. I mean, really, that place was made for a hockey team. And so they made it look really nice. A lot of snow on the ice, though. They have to come out and clean the ice a lot.
Ooh.
A lot more than in Tampa, because it's such a dry heat here.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of ice on that, or snow on that ice. And they do a really good job. So that was my trip to Vegas. The next segment, we're going to talk about the top five goaltenders of all time.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, and we're probably going to get some tweets about this segment.
Yeah.
But we want the tweets. We want to know who your top five goaltenders of the NHL of all time would be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we're going to break ours down right now.
I'm so nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I've been toiling over this.
It's completely
weeks.
Subjective.
I know.
You've been toiling? It's been causing you anxiety?
Yeah, no,
you've been having
really
agita?
Yes, I have four.
Oh,
I
you
have four,
four
solid. I have
we
four
have five.
Solid. I know, and I'm torn.
Of all the goaltenders of all time, you can't come up with a fifth?
I'm torn.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's jump in then, shall we? All right. Let's start with number five. Who do you have at number five?
Okay. So here's where my problem lies.
Okay.
Here's my toiling. Okay. I have three that I could put there.
Okay.
Terry Sawchuk.
Okay.
Okay.
And why?
He's Terry Sawchuk. The guy was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I know he struggled off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And still performed night after night. At one point, I think he had like over 300 or 400 stitches in his face, like total. I mean, the dude was like crazy.
Yeah.
It was really not crazy in the head, but I mean, he was really okay.
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 Who's your other person that you could put at five?
Ken Dryden.
Okay. And why?
Because I think, and I don't want to upset people by saying this, but I think for a very long stretch of the late 70s, he was the best player on the ice for New York.
Okay.
And that's why. He also had a very good career, was very consistent. And then the third one, Glenn Hall.
Okay, and why?
Who maybe not be in people's top five. First of all, talk about consistency.
Right.
He also had close to 100 shutouts. But it was kind of like he was night in, night out. You could always trust on Glenn Hall. He was the goalie when the Blackhawks won the Cup in 61. He was a huge reason why. He played for the Blue. I mean, he played for many teams, but mainly known for the Blackhawks.
Okay.
Because it was a 10-year period. I know everybody's going to say Terry saw it. And I get it. I just, I'm so torn. So I'm going to go with Ken Dryden.
Ken Dryden.
I think he had less to work with.
Okay.
And that's why I'm saying that.
That's a good way to look at it.
I feel there's two teams, you could make an argument for more, but I think when it comes to the Canadians and it comes to the Red Wings, they've always been talented, and they've always had tons of talent.
Okay.
And especially, let's go, you know, before Steve Yzerman and that whole, you know, dynasty that they had with Dominik Hasek and all those guys. Forget that 90s dynasty. But going back traditionally, you know, those original six teams, it really was the Red Wings and the Canadians and everybody else. So I that's why I'm going with Dryden. I think he had less to work with, and I think he was the MVP for many, many, many seasons.
Okay. All right. Hey, look, this is your
it's
list.
It's all objective. Listen, y'all, it's weeks of going back and forth.
Weeks of going back and forth.
It's really been, yeah, I don't know. But four through one, I'm good.
Okay. All right, cool. I have Jacques Plante at number five.
All right.
From the Canadiens.
Yes.
Now,
that's a great almost segue into what I was talking, like kind of what I was talking about, you know, the Canadians on these, because he wasn't, he did more than just, you know, what we see.
Well, I mean, because he got a puck to the head, they started, you know, he started to push for the wearing of masks into common practice. So, you know, there are a lot less head injuries, I would think, because of Jacques Plante.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I believe the story goes, like, because it was different. You know, teams were run a little different. You didn't carry 15 goalie. No. You know what I mean? You didn't have these emergency goalies.
A lot of, yeah, there weren't backup goaltenders on hand.
Right. And he got smacked in the, you know, head with the puck and apparently was like bleeding everywhere. And, you know, told the coach to get back out there. And he was like, dude, I'm not going out there without a mask. You're insane.
Head injury.
Because I guess he had been wearing this mask at practice type of thing or whatever. And he was like, no, I'm not going back without it. And they were like, fine, 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 because they didn't have a choice. You know, he was like all, you know, the only goalie. So he went back out wearing a mask. And that was basically all she wrote.
And then...
But he did other things, too.
Yeah. And then Friday the 13th was born as well. The scary, scary, scary movies. All right. So who's your number four?
My number four was Jacques Plante.
And Jacques Plante.
Yeah, Jacques Plante.
I just like saying his name. Jacques Plante.
Jacques Plante. Like, you know, I for years always said Julien Brisebois.
Yeah.
And now I was like, you know, now I'm afraid to say it because I don't want to get in trouble.
Get it incorrectly.
No, I mean, I'm saying it right. I just, you know.
Julien Brisebois.
Yeah. I now I feel like, you know, hey, don't say that. He's like a serious boss now.
Stop.
I'm like, a nice guy. Still a nice guy. Rode the elevator with him. Lovely, lovely man still to this day.
Yeah.
So the other thing about Jacques Plante, which was very cool, is he was kind of the first guy to play the puck.
Yeah.
He was the first goalie. You know, goaltenders used to literally sit in the net, and that's what they did.
Right.
They were, you know, they
did what I yell at them all the time. I'm going to duct tape you to the posts.
Yeah. They were basically like, you know, in air hockey.
Yeah.
And like that was the goalie.
Right, left.
That's honestly what they did. That's all they did. And
that's
he was
awesome.
The first guy that actually moved forward to play the puck.
Right, to be so aggressive.
I just think, you know, for everything, and he was a talented goaltender.
Yeah.
But all these things we have now because of him.
Right.
And so because of that, I have him at four.
Okay.
Okay, who do you have?
I have Terry Sawchuk at four.
Okay.
And I actually got some help from the hockey writers. They wrote a story a couple months ago. And so, because I was just like, oh my gosh, there's so many. How do I narrow it down?
Yeah.
And reading through this, I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, these are solid picks. So, you know. So, yeah, I agree with the number four pick.
Yeah. He was a tough SOB.
He was. And it's so funny. The hockey writers article, the first line, because they list them and then they have like a little blurb mm-hmm. about each of them. The first line of it was Ben Bishop was exalted in the 2015 Stanley Cup final for playing through a torn groin.
I hate that.
It's really hard to say.
It is.
While that sounds horribly painful, the list of injuries Sawchuk suffered at times that he played through during his career is impressive. I mean, he had a permanently damaged elbow that left his arm left arm shorter than his right, cuts and bruises that resulted in over 400 stitches.
Yeah, there you go.
To the face, collapsed lung, a broken instep, and severed hand tendons.
Yikes!
Ow!
Yeah.
Yeah. So that puts him on my list just for that.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, and he is, and that's why it was always torn. It was never like, you know. I mean, you got to think. There's been thousands maybe of goaltenders since 1926 that have, you know, come and gone. Absolutely. It was just
he has four Vezina trophies, four Stanley Cups, and a record of 103 career shutouts that stood for nearly four decades. That's pretty impressive.
Oh yeah. No,
how did he not make your list, Dory? Jeez, man.
Like I said, it just
it's your personal opinion.
Yeah, just my opinion. To me, Ken Dryden.
Hey, you're allowed to have your opinion.
Yeah.
All right, shall we move on to number three?
Yeah, number three.
All right, who you got?
Martin Brodeur.
I agree with you on that.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And he's, you know, more recent than a lot of these guys on our lists.
This is... To me, I'm going to say my top three. We're now in our generation.
Uh-huh.
So we don't really need, I mean, we can if you want to get into it, but I think Martin Brodeur speaks for himself. I mean, I think these guys are kind of, it's obvious, you know, he was dependable. Holy cow.
Yeah, 691 career wins.
Unbelievable. He was incredibly dependable. He was a non-weird goalie, which made him weird.
Isn't that funny?
Goalies, we've talked about it, are traditionally
A little out there.
A little out there. Ben Bishop was never out there.
Right.
He was kind of like one of the bros.
Right.
Always talked to the media. Was always like talking to him like you were his friend. Very unlike goaltending.
Right.
Goaltenders don't do that. They're usually, you know, the stories of Corey Crawford where he sits there and nobody talks to him. You can't talk to him.
Right.
Don't because this is his thing. Right. Martin Brodeur was a really very...
normal human being.
He wasn't this automaton, but he was outstanding.
Yeah.
And he was, he caused a lot of anger in the Eastern Conference.
Because people couldn't beat him?
For a very, very long time. And when we talk about meaning stuff to your team, Jason Gomez and Scott Stevens and all back in the day, all those guys, sure. But man, bro, Martin Brodeur, he really, really, really was like that shining pinnacle, I think, of the New Jersey Devils.
Well, let's just run down the hardware and the stats.
Man.
You ready for this?
I don't even know it all.
All right. Calder Trophy,
mm-hmm.
4 Vezinas,
mm-hmm. Ooh, mm-hmm.
2 Olympic gold medals, and 3 Stanley Cups. Now the numbers. Like I said, 691 career wins, 125 career shutouts, 24 playoff shutouts.
Mm. He was a killer in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was. I mean, and he had 3 career goals.
he was remarkable. And so, I'm glad he's both our number 3.
Yeah, that's good. That shows that,
when I was a little younger, did not like Martin Brodeur at all.
If you were not a Devils fan, you did not like Martin Brodeur at all because... Most of the time when you went up against him, you were going to lose.
And it was he was
a good
fiery
goaltender.
And you know what I mean, though? Like, he was animated and fiery.
He was fun to watch.
But looking back, he was a lot of fun and a wonderful, outstanding goaltender.
Yeah.
And so
Smart.
We'll leave it at that because I feel, you know, my personal opinion, not anybody else's. This does not represent the views of anybody else. I think he got, did him a little dirty towards the end there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he went to St. Louis and it was kind of a little... Ick. And I don't think he deserved that. That's all.
Okay. Number 2.
Petition.org.
Jeez, let's not go there. I think he's probably over it now.
Sure.
If he's over it, we should probably be over it. All right. Who you got at number 2?
I'm going to go with Patrick Waugh.
Patrick Waugh.
Uh-huh.
All right. Why?
Yeah, I'm sure people are like, what?
Why?
Well, first of all, Patrick Waugh is Patrick Waugh. And... You know, people probably think of him now as like more of a coach. I don't know how old our audience is. I mean, you're very young.
Oh, thank you.
do you think of him as a goal? I mean, you would think of him as a goaltender because you're
yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So not a coach.
He was still playing back then.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah.
I'm not that young. Jesus, Dory, we're not that different in age.
But man, what a long career, and it took him so long to finally get a cup. Which he got in Colorado. But he was. Talk about unstoppable. And he was brilliant and he was skilled. I think he's very off-putting to people when he played.
He was aggressive.
He was aggressive and he had an arrogance about him, kind of. I think that went beyond swagger. But Patrick Waugh for sure. I don't know if you have the rundown on his information, but I mean,
I do because he's later. And you want to run down Patrick Waugh?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
well, okay. We'll get more in depth to Patrick Waugh after I talk about my number 2.
Oh, because, okay.
All right, number 2 for me, Dominik Hasek.
Okay, why 2? Why Hasek at 2?
Why Hasek at 2? Because, he was. I mean, you want to talk about putting a team on his back? In the 90s for the Sabres.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he was really dominant.
Yeah.
He had the highest shot on goal per 60 minutes, but also the highest save percentage too. Mm-hmm. So that's dominance in the net. Like, you're not getting anything by this guy. Brodeur had a lot of wins.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like my number 1 was both of those things.
Oh, okay.
So he had both of those characteristics. Kind of like,
okay.
I hate when people say the Michael Jordan of hockey. Like, I think that's so dumb. But
yeah. Well, the Michael Jordan of hockey was Wayne Gretzky.
Yes. Yeah. But Michael Jordan of goaltending.
Of goaltending. Okay. Yeah.
So I just, you know, he had six. Dominic Hasek had six Vezina trophies. Like, how is that even possible? It's like all other goaltenders just go home.
Yeah. And not only there's Dominic Hasek was another thorn in my side.
Of course he was.
He was a thorn in everybody's side. So anyways, so if I listed, we could do process of elimination. If I listed Wah at two and you went Hasek at two, my number one is Dominic Hasek. Shocker.
All right, well, my number one is Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, so the six Veznas are outstanding, but there was something else that he did that was just unbelievable. And he won two Hart trophies. Dominic Hasek did. And,
yeah, he did. And two Stanley Cups.
Yeah. The other thing.
And a gold medal.
And a gold medal.
Mean, all of these guys have a lot of hardware.
A lot of hardware. But the weird thing about, the neat thing about Hasek was he didn't become a starting goalie, or he didn't really enter the world of goalie starting dumb until he was 27.
So he's a late bloomer.
He was kind of a Ben Bishop. He's a little bit of a late bloomer. But Hasek would do these amazing aerobatical.
He was so flexible. That was, I feel like he was the real start of these, like, where they really focused on flexibility.
Yeah. And he was a bigger.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He was a bigger goalie. I think he's, he wasn't a little tiny goalie.
No.
Which, you know, the Mike Richters of the 90s, right. Those great goalies, the Van Beesbrooks, and these guys are, you know, smaller and
compact.
Stash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
A little more compact.
Compact. You know, Hasek wasn't. And, I mean, this dude, he would, like, make these saves. I'm going to fall. He would make these saves. I don't know why I'm reenacting these.
This is not a video
show. Yeah, I'm
show.
Literally, up, like, upside down reenacting
Please
these.
Don't hurt yourself.
These boom kick,
yeah,
save.
Kick saves.
It was just amazing to watch. And it was like he was, it almost felt watching him like he was putting on a show.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He
like
was just,
he had rubber bands in his joints.
He just seemed to work hard, like really work hard, really wanted it, never gave up, and was just out. Like he never rested on his talent. You know, he never said, well, I'm a great goaltender and that's it. It was kind of like, what else can I do? What else can I do?
How else can I get better?
How else can I get better? And so for me, it's Hasek. I think he kind of, I love game changers, and I think he changed the game.
Okay. So. I like Patrick Waugh because he was really feisty.
Yeah. Like I said, he had like that attitude, and some people just didn't care for him.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't care for the team he played for, I enjoyed watching him. And you never knew what was going to happen when he was out on the ice. I mean, you knew that they were most of the time they were going to win. Mm-hmm. But just he was kind of like that loose cannon that added just a little bit more danger to the game. Yeah. And not danger in that he was going to hurt people, but just like you never know what was going to happen every time the puck went by his crease.
Yeah.
I thought that was exciting. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. And he did it for a long period of time. And it's not like Martin Brodeur or Dominic Hasek didn't play for long careers. They did.
Right.
But it was you never had really a lull.
Yeah. He was really consistent.
He was very consistent. He was kind of, the poster child for how to be a good goaltender in the NHL.
Yeah.
So anybody would, get your honorable mention or?
Well, I mean, Hobby Bullen, because he helped get us the Stanley Cup. But, you know, he wouldn't be on that list of all time in all of the NHL.
Mm-hmm, no.
So, I really didn't have any, like, honorable mentions. Tony Esposito was an amazing goaltender.
Uh-huh.
So maybe he would be one of my guys.
I would put, if I did a top 10, like a expanded, I would put, Bernie Parent on that list.
That's a good one.
I'm always on the. No, I'm not. I was going to say definitely Glenn Hall. See, now we're opening it up, and I can do that. I think Tony Esposito would be on the list. I know Sochek obviously would be on the list. Glenn Hall would be on the list. All those guys we talked about. But I think possibly better than Wah. Oh boy, people are going to kill me for this one. Better than Wah, better than Hašek. I, in my opinion, the greatest goalie to ever play the game, never even played in the NHL, and Vladislav Tretiak. I mean, that dude, that's the one, I mean.
Give some background.
Okay, he is the Russian goalie, never played in the NHL. Let's see, member of the world champion Soviet Union hockey team. 1970, 1971, 1973, 1974, 1975, 1978, 79, 81, 82, 83. He was the Olympic gold medalist, 72, 76, 84. The silver medalist in 1980.
Yep.
The best goalie at World and European Championships in 74, 79, 81, 83. And Canada Cup Most Valuable Player in 1981. Obviously a little old. He was drafted by the Canadians, but he didn't play in the NHL. Because he was born in the Soviet Union. But he is kind of like that benchmark guy.
Right.
And he's also the one that when Vasilevsky was a young lad growing up, that he was always we talked briefly about the pressure that Wayne Gretzky was put on on him as a young boy.
Cool.
And Steven Stamkos had a lot of pressure on him from a very,
just
very young age.
Just imagine being the goaltender for the Soviets.
And Vasilevsky in Russia.
Yeah.
They said from when he was a very young boy, and I want, like, I mean, like 8 or 9 years old, like he's the Tretiak.
Wow.
Of, you know, the new, and I was just like, oh my God.
No pressure.
No pressure, because this is, and I think it'd be really cool to sit down with him and talk to him about that.
Yeah.
You know,
what kind of, how that kind of shaped
how that affects you, because he really was the benchmark. And in fact, I think there's like a really cool story out there about Plante meeting Tretiak because of the mask. And like Tretiak was like, what?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if he's, you know, has that kind of goofy accent, but yeah, like he, like,
we need to stop doing the accent story.
I know,
we
and
really
I'm so
need
bad.
To stop.
I'm so bad at them. But I think, you know, of all time, it's hard to not put him on the list. But he didn't play in the NHL.
Right. So there's that little caveat.
There's the caveat.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that was pretty good. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of anger tweets and people who have their own opinions, which we welcome. Please let us know who you think should be on your list of the top five goaltenders in all time of the NHL. We're going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can send those angry tweets to Dory at Game Miz with a C Conduct. And we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.